Welcome to episode 7 of the 250. I'm Danielle.
I'm Chris.
And we're watching, what do we do, Fight Club today. Yes, this is our first episode after winter break. Katie isn't here because she's studying abroad in South Africa, so.
Ooh, very exciting. Well, this is my first episode ever.
Yes. Yeah. Everyone say hello to Chris.
What? Yeah. Hello,
everybody. Okay, so Fight Club, really interesting movie. It's number 10 on the list, actually, so I think this is the first or second time.
It's number 10? Are you serious?
Yeah, I looked
that
it up.
That is much higher than I would have expected.
Right? Yeah. So it's first time I think we've cracked the top 10
cool.
of the list.
Cool,
right. It's very exciting.
Wow, this is a good one for me to start on then.
Mm-hmm.
Solid.
Yeah, so movie was out in 99, directed by David Fincher. Very famous movie, I guess. Brad Pitt, Ed Norton. I liked it. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Definitely very thought-provoking.
Yes, yes. Okay, so we start the movie out with Ed Norton. He doesn't actually have a name in the movie. He's just the narrator. And he's this guy. He's just a normal guy, kind of living life monotonously. Doesn't really care about what he's doing, what he's working on. And he meets Brad Pitt, who's just really kind of crazy. I definitely thought his character was a little crazy. I was just thinking at the beginning, like, what are the logistics of the whole thing? Like, did no one notice that Ed Norton's character has, like, mental issues during the movie?
So that was one of the things that I found very interesting personally as I was watching it. So, unfortunately, I didn't go into this movie sort of like completely unaware of sort of the twist at the end.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things. If you grow up and you haven't seen it by age 13, someone's going to spoil
it
for you.
Like, you have to know.
And it was, and so I mean, if you're listening to this, you probably have also seen the movie.
Hopefully
or have some sort of semblance.
It.
Yeah. Apologies. Spoilers ahead.
Yes.
But, Ed Jack and Tyler Durden are the same person. And so I knew that going in. And I felt like as I was watching it, it sort of changed. Instead of being led by, led by the nose to these different things and, always having a wool over my eyes.
Yeah.
It was just sort of because I knew that, this guy was Jack was having these hallucinations or whatnot, the unnamed narrator, excuse me.
Yeah.
It sort of was that, like, I was watching this man slowly descend into battle with this mental illness. It really did sort of like change things.
Yeah, the first time I watched it, I definitely knew the twist.
Yeah.
So I really wonder what it would be like if I hadn't known
exactly
the whole time. And I think I definitely noticed a ton of things. Like, there's a point at, like, right at the beginning where there's like a flash of Tyler Durden in the background, and it was so obvious and like.
Yep.
So I wonder, had I been like just blind to the whole thing, would my like reaction to the movie have been a little bit different?
My suspension of disbelief is like pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that I would have just had my mind blown had I seen
this, like, in the movies. I'm so susceptible to plot twists.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of like fourth wall breaking. Ed Norton's just talking about how much he hates his life and his job and the monotony. And I always thought the movie kind of, it was very like 90s, like angsty, down with capitalism, like it very appealed to that whole.
I was about to say, if you were a teenager, if you were like 15 years
old
in the 90s
this
must have been like incredible. Instead of going out, and posting what was that song back in like 2010? Jesus, I could really use a wish right now. Instead of posting that like for your Facebook status, like you memorized quotes from this and then sent them in school to your friends who hadn't seen the movie.
Yeah, you're just so enlightened.
What?
This movie.
You're just so enlightened.
Even though probably most people didn't like get the message, because I'm pretty sure like a ton of Fight Clubs sprung up.
Yeah, I was about to say. I wonder. Maybe should have done a little bit more research coming in, but I wonder how many like
I'm sure there's
people
some people.
Went out. And started one. I had a camp counselor who once, I think he might have actually been the one who spoiled it for me, but I had a camp counselor who said that after watching this movie when he was a kid, he and his friends went out and started one.
Of course.
Except that they ended it after the very first fight, after one kid got popped in the nose and started bleeding.
Because it's terrifying.
Yeah, it's absolutely horrifying.
Yeah, no, I think this movie definitely appeals to that side of people, because I've always wondered, like, how it would fare in a fight. Like, I think I, like, did self-defense in, like, 8th grade, and that's, like, the extent of my abilities, but I've always wondered, like, I don't ever want to get into like a serious fight where it's like life or death, but I've always like back of my mind, like, how would I do?
So it's really funny you say that, because I spent a year and a half I've spent a very ill-fated period of time practicing and sparring in the Georgetown Boxing Club.
Oh wow.
And so I sort of, I don't know, I know what it's like to get punched in the face for fun, or to do that. It was very funny watching these depictions of violence, or like how these guys feel afterwards, or sort of the way that they're interacting with themselves and their environment during the actual Fight Club, because I was standing there just being like, that is not it felt very different from again, I'm not bare knuckle boxing in the basement
to, like,
diner
the
but
death.
it was a really interesting experience.
Yeah, I think it definitely, like, has a message about hypermasculinity.
Yes.
And then, like, especially in the beginning where it's, like, he's at the testicular cancer thing and the men are crying and, like, just feel so emasculated. And then it goes straight to, like, straight up just, like, punching each other and, like, knocking each other out. And that one scene where their assignment was to go and, like, fight someone.
Start a fight with
them. Yeah, and have someone, like, actually get into the fight. Like, I don't know if that would actually be a thing, because I think a lot of it was, like, talking about how people, most people have, like, violence within them. But I feel like he was saying, like, yeah, most people will do anything to avoid a fight. But I feel like they pretty easily got people to fight them.
I don't know, just in that same vein, sorry, I'm going to veer us off in, like, an entirely different direction.
Totally
but
fine.
That reminds me, like, I do want to talk about, like, a little bit of the technique in terms of, like, how the movie told its story. I'm just reminded of the scene where the guy sprays the priest with the hose and then keeps spraying him, sprays the Bible, spraying the priest. And, you know, the point there is that, like, it doesn't matter if you're a man of God, it doesn't matter if you're a man of car insurance or, like, a woman or, like, whatever. Like, you're right. Like, people do have that violence in there. That symbolism, I think my first criticism of the movie is I think sometimes those symbols are a little heavy handed. There were, there were, like, definitely parts of, and kind of like what you're talking about in terms of, the, you know, sport movement group. From the, you know, the testicular cancer support group to, you know, this, like, crazy fight. I mean, it's a fight club.
Yeah.
I felt like sometimes there were, I was like, all right, we get it. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it. Over the head. Really great. Got the message.
I mean,
appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, definitely. I think we can move on to, I think Marla was a very interesting character because she was kind of, like, stuck in the middle of it.
Oh, that's totally wrong. I was half expecting Johnny Depp to pop out.
Yeah, because her, if,
you know,
if she's there, he has to be
there.
There.
I mean,
yeah, Helena Bonham Carter. They're, like, a pair. They have to be together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was so funny how she, like, walks into, like, the cancer support group smoking a cigarette. And I was like, all right, that's great. And then he gets so mad at her for doing the exact same thing he's doing. And, like, I thought that was really, really funny. Yeah, and he's, like, trying to find emotional honesty in these, like, support groups where he, like, which is, like, the total, obviously, like, the wrong way to go about it. Because, like, these people are actually living this thing and he's just sitting there, like, acting like he is. So, like, the complete opposite of emotional honesty.
That was such a weird way. So the tone that set for me at the beginning of the movie was very different than how the movie ended up turning out.
Yeah.
I thought a guy who can't sleep, who gets addicted going to support groups, sounded more like, you know, a novel for women in their mid-50s or something. Like, you know, I'm sort of sitting here, I'm like, wow, this is a really, like, kind of crazy, like, screwed up in its own special way to start the movie. And then, obviously, it turns into, like, you know,
crazy
anarchist.
Shit.
Yeah, like, this crazy. It was very, I don't know, it was definitely a different feeling.
Yeah, it's really interesting how the movie kind of, like, evolves.
Yeah.
Because, especially, like, if you just heard of Fight Club, like, going to see the movie, you would be expecting a completely different movie than you got.
Yeah.
Because, like, I feel like everyone's, like, central premise is, like, this fight club, but it's kind of a very small part of the entire, like, movie.
Yep.
Like, the fight club spawns this huge, like, terrorist cell, basically, which I thought, like, going into that, like, first time seeing it, like, in the 90s, like, I don't think I would have ever expected that coming from the movie.
No, 100%.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah. And then I think I read the book before I saw the movie, so I was even more, like, primed for it.
Oh, wow.
So,
cool. I would like to read the book at some point now, just to sort of, you know, see what I missed, what's the iceberg underneath the water. On the subject of complete, like, tone shifts, I thought straight up I had, so I'm not going to lie, I streamed this movie online. I can't say that. I'm sure the FBI is listening to this whenever this goes out.
Yeah, right now.
They probably know where I live. My girlfriend's father works for the NSA. That's not even true. that's just true. I thought I had booted up an episode of Jimmy Neutron. Because the opening theme is all these, like, neurons and cortex is, like, firing and it's all neon. And I was like, oh, no,
like, this is wrong.
I'm doing something wrong. And then all of a sudden Brad Pitt's name shows up and I was like,
maybe we're
okay,
I guess.
Sure.
Yeah. It's a movie. Definitely. You have to just, like, be like, all right, this is happening.
Yep,
just let it happen.
Roll with the punches.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Sorry.
Great.
I know. My first time is not faring well.
It's fine.
No, it was definitely very strange. The flickering Brad Pitt thing, which you mentioned at the beginning.
Yeah.
Really creepy. Really spooky, man.
It was a little weird. I don't think I noticed it the first time. And then as I was watching, I think I was watching more carefully. And then I was like, oh.
Okay. When I saw the first one, I thought that, again, like, I streamed online. I was like, oh, no. Yeah. You know, did something go wrong? And then it happened another time.
Yeah.
And then I was just had my eyes glued to the screen, like looking for it.
Yeah, you're looking for more hints and stuff.
I don't know how much I saw. I would assume it happens more than twice. Yeah. I only caught it twice.
Yeah, I think I caught it two times. I don't think I saw any more.
I was definitely sort of sitting there being like, is it gonna happen again? I don't know.
Yeah, and I think there were definitely just hints dropped throughout the entire like exposition of the movie that like he was going crazy. Like, there was a lot of times where he was just, like, losing time.
Yep.
Like, I can't quite recall, but, like, there are parts where he just, like, loses whole chunks. He's talking about how he loses whole chunks of time, and you're just like, oh, he just has insomnia, he's tired, but actually he's just insane.
Yeah, 100%. Something that really screwed with me. Did you know when he is, you might actually know this, but I literally grabbed my computer screen and rewinded it to, like, look at this.
Yeah.
When he's in the hotel after his boss tells him to sort of take off and, you know, go do all these recon projects and whatnot, when he's watching the scene, he's watching TV, and there's a scene on it where a bunch of waiters are, like, standing next to each other, and they're all like, they're like, yeah, like, come, we'll serve you. Brad Pitt is in the front row.
Really?
All the way on the left, like, on the left or something, and I just happened to catch it. And I freaked out.
Yeah, I didn't.
So now I'm wondering, and that would totally be something that I would never see unless I had been paying attention at that one exact moment.
Yeah.
And now I'm wondering, oh my God, how many of these did I miss?
Yeah. No, I love movies like that where like the first time you're just like watching it for the plot, and the second time you're like, well, that and this, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, like crazy shit like that.
Yeah, which is why I think going into it the way that we did, knowing the twist, is sort of a hybrid version of those two types of watches. Like,
yeah.
I knew I was going through it being like, all right, so where are the Easter eggs? But at the same time, because I didn't know exactly how you got to the twist at the end, I was also sort of still being led around with that suspension of disbelief.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I love the scene where he's like, just punch me, man. Like, that's a very, I think that's also like a super famous scene, aside from the Don't Talk About Fight Club.
Yeah.
That's probably
ironic,
one of the,
considering we're
Cheap
joke. It's a cheap joke. Cheap joke. I'm
just
sorry.
Making us. I don't have to kick
I
you
had
out.
Sherlock flashbacks.
Oh.
You know the one. Punch me.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really cool. And then I think there was a quote, he was like, I don't want to die without any scars. I thought that was kind of cool. And it was like interesting and deep.
Which is a complete lie.
Yeah.
Or at least is true at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, because now you can't think of Tyler Durden as his own separate character with his own separate set of experiences. You have to think of him in terms of what Jack or Edward Norton knows at that point in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how he's evolved so far.
Yeah, and it's like so crazy how he like blew up his own house and didn't even realize it.
Yep.
And like, yeah, another thing about like the materialism and like just like all you have to let go all of your worldly possessions and move into this crap house for no apparent reason.
Jesus. I was looking at that and I was sitting in my cozy basement room and was like, I'm good here.
It's,
I'm all right.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't want to give up anything. Yep. Yeah. And then also like if no one talks about Fight Club, how do you get more members? Please.
You know, it's kind of one of those Jack Sparrow moments, you know, where it's an island that can only be found by those who already know where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like somebody has to tell you. Like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then he says something like, sometimes Tyler spoke for me, and then like it takes on like a whole new meaning once you know the twist.
Especially when, you know, he's saying things like, oh yeah, Tyler and, oh, what's her name? I'm sorry.
Marla.
He's like, Tyler and Marla never in the same room. And you're like, hmm.
Yeah, right. Oh yeah.
Okay.
It's like the whole, like, have you ever seen me and Batman in the same room?
What?
Obviously I might be Batman. Yeah. One of those things.
I fight aliens. Aliens don't exist. You're welcome.
You are welcome.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like, knowing that you could take someone down must be pretty nice.
Well, the funny thing about the team dynamic where, or like even in terms of the movie, is that if you're in like a club or something, there is no wondering whether or not you could actually end up taking somebody down, because you probably already know whether or not it could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I hate to bring too much of my own personal experience into your podcast. I apologize, but like it was an environment that, because you already knew whose ass you should, I'm so sorry.
It's totally,
you know, whose butt you could kick. And whose you couldn't kick, there was all of that guessing was just sort of like left, and people just sort of treated each other with respect because there was no more question marks.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's necessarily the same in bare knuckle boxing where, you
I
know,
feel
the rules don't necessarily apply, but at the same time, you know, after Edward Norton kicks the crap out of the blonde guy.
Yeah. Which is Jared Leto, by the way.
That's Jared Leto?
Yeah. Like baby Jared Leto.
Oh
right?
My.
I was watching the beginning credits. It said Jared Leto, and I was like, I did not know he was in this movie.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that is weird.
Yeah, pre, like, Jesus hair, like.
Wow, so this movie just, you know.
Lots of stars.
I don't want to say made, but yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
Wow, okay, that's pretty cool. But, you know, when he, for the rest of the movie, I was honestly expecting it to kick off between Jared Leto and Edward Norton. At some point, I was like, because there are a lot of tense moments between the two of them where he's like, sir.
Yeah.
Obviously getting, you know, like, real kind of flustered. Face, yeah. But he won't do it because he knows that Edward Norton possesses, you know, the skills just absolutely like come back him. I mean, also, Edward Norton is Tyler Durden, but at that point, you're not supposed to know that.
He doesn't, no one knows that. And then, 90s sensibility, he says something about, like, the being the middle children of history. And, it's very, like, apathetically grunge, like, I don't care. Yeah. Like, it was very, very of that
again,
time.
Again, I was texting my girlfriend during the movie, and I was just like, this is rife with one-liners for every 90s angsty teenager.
Just, like, it'd be your, like, Twitter bio. Or,
exactly. Just, like, it was just, there were so many quotable lines from Brad Pitt.
Definitely.
That I'm sure were just, you know, graffitied everywhere in any major city in America at the time.
Oh,
it must have been crazy.
Yeah.
Side note, how Brad Pitt looks amazing in this movie.
He does.
He looks incredible. And I was laughing so hard in the scene when they're in the bus and they go, is that what a man's supposed to look like? And then two scenes later, Brad Pitt has his shirt off. And I was like, well, obviously, I mean, you know, you took a few lessons.
Yeah.
You screw you, man.
Yeah. No, honestly. Yeah. Good for him. Good for him.
Yeah.
Pulled it. Yeah. I mean,
although I'm not gonna lie, I was a big fan of his choice. Whoever was wardrobe and whoever, you know, Tyler Durden, there was really amazing.
There was just some like really crazy outfits. Yeah. He had like, oh god, much color.
I loved the fact that he wake up every morning and had that, you know, that mug pink bathrobe that he just walked around in a cigarette.
Just, like, doesn't care.
It was incredible.
Does not care at all.
Or you know, the grunge Macklemore.
Yes.
Get up at the end.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Bro, do you even thrift? Incredible.
Yeah, so the end was pretty... spending disbelief, but, like, real world, if you had blown up that many skyscrapers, there would be so many repercussions to that. Like, just not even, like it, I don't know, when you watch it, you just think, oh, yeah, I was just going to blow up these buildings, and then that'll be the end of it. It'll destroy the credit thing, but, like, it would just destroy the city. Like, people would die. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I feel like...
It's like, there's no one in the buildings.
I'm that
doesn't mean...
Exactly.
There's nobody in the buildings.
Like that's... You, I mean, I guess, but there's going to be some damage.
No, I 100% get that. Especially considering that if you build buildings like that, you take out utilities. And, you know, your power grid screwed up, your water is, like, all over the place. I mean, again, suspending disbelief and whatnot.
Yeah.
Did you feel like that was the end of, like, a 90s teen drama? You know?
Yeah, where they were, like, holding hands, watching the world fall.
Exactly. I was incredibly confused, especially considering Edward Norton had the ability to, like, do any of this after having shot himself.
In the face. Like, what?
You don't just get up from that.
Yeah, he was like, I'm just going to hold this to my face. It'll be fine. Just hold this, like, rag to my face. Yep.
He's great.
No.
They're all like, he's real tough. I'm like, I don't care how tough you are.
Out. You're done.
It was a very weird way to end the film. And I wonder if they sort of, I don't know, maybe this is written down somewhere or somebody's talked about it in an interview, but I wonder if they sort of, it strikes me as, it could be one of those ironic endings, you know, where like, hey, you know, this story probably ends a lot bloodier than you really want it to. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you a nice little like, handheld, looking out the window, tied up with a real bow so you feel good.
But still didn't feel really
so
great about it.
I wonder if it's one of those, or to be honest with you, maybe, I haven't read the book. I wonder the way that it's sort of...
I don't remember.
Because I'm sure it doesn't, you know, pop in with some Green Day. It's a very famous song. Like, I have no idea what it is, but it's heat on the ground.
it's very tonal for the movie. Yeah, and then I always just wondered, like, towards the end of the movie, like, where does he go from there?
Oh, yeah.
At all. Because, like, he's just going to be the leader of a terrorist cell now? Is that what's going to happen? Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, also, I just wonder for the people, like, in the Fight Club, like, one day you just joined a nice club, and the next day you're a member of a terrorist organization. Mm-hmm. Like, where do you go from there? Because it doesn't really look, I don't know if it seemed like he was just going to stop doing that.
Yep.
Like, when Tyler was dead. Like, when Tyler was gone, I guess.
So, I mean, you know, staying within the world of the movie, like, I wonder if he even thought he would get that far.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where it's strange because Tyler Durden has such a huge amount of control in Jack's life for so much of the movie. And then in the last, like, 30 minutes, everything kind of goes to hell. And you have to wonder, like, is that something that Tyler wanted to necessarily have happen so that, you know, Edward Norton would finally have to sort of wake up and take responsibility?
Exactly.
And maybe, you know, maybe after the credits roll and the world of the story moves on, maybe he does. You know, maybe he's like, well, I blew up 10 buildings. It's probably time to, you know, sack up, you know, Brad Pitt would want me to.
Exactly. And I thought it was so interesting how he was like self-aware it appeared that he was self-aware the entire movie, like Tyler Durden was. Like he knew that he was just a figment of Ed Norton's imagination. He was just he was playing him that way. Mm. I thought that was really interesting. Because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I wouldn't have expected that to be. Yeah, because it's like his whole plan to like do something with Ed Norton's life. Mm-hmm. Like that was his whole goal, which was interesting.
I was about to say, or maybe, you know, another thing, we're talking about how it's such a weird progression from like, from, you know, these groups to Fight Club to like cult, essentially, like, you know, brotherhood, quote, 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 quote. Than to, you know, bombing buildings. Like, who even knows if he has a goal at that point?
Yeah.
You know, who even knows if he has necessarily a plan? Maybe he just builds the army and goes, all right, what do I do next?
Yeah.
You know, because it seems like by Tyler Durden's own philosophy, you know, having a goal at that point and recruiting for that purpose instead of just sort of, you know, being at the bottom and, you know, trying to move through life as best you can without being special, without, you know, worldly possessions or whatnot.
Yeah.
Maybe there is no goal at that point.
His
until
whole goal was just anarchy, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, or maybe, you know, he blew up his apartment and just never, you know, never stopped having as much fun.
Yeah. So,
you know. It's a really, I can see why people, like, love this movie.
Because
there's definitely, you can definitely sit here or, like, sit anywhere for hours and hours and hours and just talk about, well, what if, like, what
yeah,
if?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I really liked it. I don't know if I would put it in my top 10.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah.
Like, it's like one of those that's, like, it's very good, mm-hmm. very interesting, but it's, like, a rough watch,
yeah.
I think. And I personally like to just have, like, some, like, I don't know, it's not, like, enjoy, because I did enjoy it, but you know what I mean?
No, I understand.
Just, like, where it's just not all, like, super heavy and just, like, God.
No, you know? I totally understand.
Yeah. So I think I would put it maybe, like, top 50. I think it still belongs in the top 50 because it's just, 50. Yeah, it's very culturally relevant, obviously. It has all the lines and it, like, it launched, you know, it helped launch Brad Pitt's career. Yep. And, like, it's, like, a very important movie, but I don't know if I would have it in my top 10.
I was about to say, I was really surprised when you told me that it was rated as high as it was.
Yeah.
I would definitely say it does merit a place in the top 50, but I, you know, just off the top of my head, like, I think there are other movies that I would say are probably, you know, more important. I didn't see any, again, like, I'm not, you know, a huge movie historian, but at the same time, I didn't see anything that I felt like, oh, that's the first time, like, that's been done, or like, oh my goodness, like, you know, kind of like Blade Runner, where maybe not exactly the most fun to watch, but at the same time, you're looking at the cinematography, you're looking at the construction and narrative, and you're like, okay, I totally get, like, how this is revolutionary. I'm looking at Fight Club, and I'm like, it's a lot of fun to watch, and totally would screw with you if you were in the theater in the 90s. And
oh my God, it'd be, like, the best thing ever.
Yeah, and, you know, it's, they do such a good job, too, of, you know, kind of what you said, leaving those breadcrumbs for you to pick up along the way.
Mm-hmm.
They never pull something where they leave out clues so that you never guess the twist.
Like,
the twist is always there. It's just whether or not you've been paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They do such a good job with that. You know, so maybe that plays into why it's rated quite as highly, but I'm very surprised that it's not the top 10.
Right. Any other notes?
Let's see. Edward Norton, you know, if the whole blowing up buildings things doesn't work out, I was looking at his apartment. Fantastic interior decorator. Amazing.
Of course. IKEA would love to have him.
It blew me away. I'm like, well, buddy, I mean, if you got to switch careers, you know, if you're good looking for something a little bit more fulfilling, like, you got it.
Less evil.
So. I constantly confuse Edward Norton and John Cusack.
Yes.
Going forward, if I ever make that mistake, I just want that to be known.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite, I want to talk about my favorite scene in the movie, which is the phone call, the first phone call between Edward Norton and Tyler Durden. You know, when he's like, I never pick up my phone.
Yeah.
And he hears it. I think the reason it was my favorite, because I think that would have been the point had I not known the twist, that I would have been like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
Off here.
I'm confused, Brad Pitt. I just saw your face in a hotel room halfway across the country. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't believe you, sir.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was a good one. Also, phone booths freaked me out for some reason. I don't know why. I hate walking through London.
Never. It's terrifying.
I mean, but they're red and they're British, so they're, you know,
it's also
a lot,
like,
more fun.
Never have to use them, so it's fine.
All right.
All right. That's the end of the episode. Follow us at HalftimeGU on Twitter. I think I still haven't confirmed that, but I think that's what it is. Go on georgetownboys.com/halftime to read more articles, listen to more podcasts, and generally enjoy yourself.
And if you're looking for something else to do, you should definitely listen to the first 6 episodes if you're new to if you're new to the series so far.
Definitely. Yeah. So that's about it. Bye.
Take it easy.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club. The second rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.